Thank you.
And so for this,
yeah, good. Thank you.
For the students, here comes our last case. Council can approach now for the last case. It involves sideshows up in the Bay Area. You guys may have seen those. You don't need to say if you've been to one or not. But anyway, this case, I think, is, you know, some of the cases we've had have been kind of technical. This is the case you're going to be able to follow pretty easily. And it's a very interesting constitutional case. So, you know, sometimes it can be tough in the audience when you haven't read the briefs, but this one you don't really need to have read the briefs to understand what the lawyers are talking about in this case. All right. And with that, 1 second, counsel. And counsel, you may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court, David Loy representing Jose Garcia. I would like to reserve at least 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Very well.
This case is about the free speech right to record and report on events of public concern in a public forum. My client wants to stand in a public forum to document and record a sideshow, an event of public concern in that forum, and then publish his reporting about those events. Under Project Veritas, to create a recording for news gathering, as my client intends to do, is speech protected by the First Amendment. And that's exactly what's at issue here. This appeal on this preliminary injunction only challenges the ordinance as applied to the creation of that protected speech. We are not asking the court to explore the outer limits of all potential applications of the ordinance. But as applied to my client's protected speech, this ordinance is subject to the First Amendment precisely because it punishes an essential element of creating protected speech in a public forum.
Counsel,
if we,
please go ahead.
If we agreed with you that your client's observation of sideshows is protected speech, I'm wondering where you would draw the line. Could your client, I don't know, pursue a police chase in order to report on it? Could he do, what's the limiting principle to his right to observation, in your view?
So to be clear, Your Honor, the right is to observe for the purposes of recording and
reporting.
And on these facts, I'm only asserting the right to stand in the public forum and record events. I'm not claiming a right to, for example, drive recklessly.
So, but are you saying that, following up on Judge Thomas's question, that for the right that you are asserting, it makes no difference how dangerous the event that you want to observe is? As long as it's in a public forum, you get to do it no matter how dangerous it is?
Well, the ordinance is subject to the First Amendment. Your question, Your Honor, if I may suggest, goes to whether it survives First Amendment scrutiny, and I can address that.
No, dangerous. But it sounds like from your argument, you are arguing that your client has a First Amendment right to, in a public forum, observe any event in which the public would have an interest in, irrespective of its dangerousness.
He has a right to observe and record and document as a reporter or concerned member of the public. In some circumstances, the government can limit free speech rights in a public forum under, if it's content neutral, if it survives intermediate scrutiny, if it's content based, they must survive strict scrutiny. I'm only talking about the threshold issue. Is this a First Amendment case at all? And if it's protected speech in a public forum, it is a First Amendment case. And then we get to, is it content-based and does it survive?
So it's First Amendment, in your view, irrespective of the dangerousness?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So if this were, for example, somebody there with a bomb that might go off on a sidewalk, and the police said everybody has to clear out right now, and your client was there, I'm there to observe it for First Amendment purposes, that his right to observe a bomb that might go off would be judged by First Amendment standards, that's still a First Amendment question, not a police power question, for example.
Yes, the police power is subject to the First Amendment in a public forum, But in that case, Your Honor, if it were genuinely content neutral, genuinely an emergency, and applied to everyone, and no one could go inside that perimeter for any reason, which is not this case, because this case is content-based, which I can get to. But if it were genuinely content neutral, that's the kind of ruling, kind of rule or direction that might, would probably, if challenged in court, easily survive.
But we still, in your view, even in that circumstance, a bomb in the middle of the street, we still have to start with a First Amendment analysis.
If that were challenged, if that case were before the court, yes, the First Amendment would apply to any buffer zone in a public forum. The buffer zone might well survive First Amendment review. And in your case, Your Honor, I submit a probably very easy case on the merits, but it's still, in principle, a First Amendment issue. Because as if I may, to record is to observe is to be present with the purpose to observe, and therefore to be present with purpose to observe an event is an essential element of creating protected speech about that event. And this ordinance essentially chokes off that free speech right to record at its root by punishing an essential element of creating protected speech. As we explained in the brief, it punishes reporters who are creating firsthand journalism about sideshows. It would punish a member of the public who wants to record a sideshow to protest or report it to law enforcement. The county makes a big deal of saying spectators are integral to sideshows, and we can therefore punish someone simply for being present with the purpose to observe and therefore record. But the First Amendment prohibits imputing criminal liability to people who merely exercise their free speech right to record and report on unlawful acts committed in public.
So would this apply to a cockfighting statute that was applicable everywhere, not just on private property, that you can't attend a cockfight wherever it is? That would also be impermissible?
So, 2 points, Your Honor. If it's in a public forum, the First Amendment is in play under McCullen and related law. It's always a First Amendment issue if we're talking about a law that impacts speech in a public forum. Then we ask, is it content neutral or content based? If it were content neutral and simply said no one may come within X feet of a cockfight for any purpose, we would evaluate that under intermediate scrutiny. But if it said you may not approach for the purpose of observing and recording that event specifically, then it's content-based and has to meet strict scrutiny if it's applied in a public forum. As a practical matter, as I understand, the cases on illegal animal fights and other illegal events, such as illegal boxing, they're all about events held underground and in secret. And we're not advocating a free speech right to get onto private property to attend an underground event held in secret, if, again, it's purely a content-neutral restriction. But if it is applied in a public forum, then, yes, we do have a First Amendment issue, and we then get to, is it content-based or content-neutral? But the government cannot just legislate free speech rights out of existence and do an end run around the First Amendment just by declaring that an essential element of protected speech is itself a crime in a public forum. This case is, as applied to this case, the ordinance does impose a content-based restriction on speech in a public forum. By its text, and as the county effectively admits, the ordinance makes it a crime to be within the 200 feet and face the sideshow to observe and therefore report it, but not to be in the same time and place and turn your back and record something else at the same time and place. That is the very definition of restricting speech based on its substantive content, based on its substantive subject matter. This is not a case like City of Austin where we have on-premise, off-premise signs, the same sign, vote for Jane Doe, buy my product. It's the same sign in City of Austin, and that was not a content-based restriction because the law applied equally to the same substantive content. This case, by necessary operation of the text of the ordinance, discriminates based on the content of the recording. You have to view the substantive subject matter of the recording. Is it a recording of the sideshow made with a purpose to observe the sideshow, then it's a violation. If it's a recording of something else facing away from the sideshow at the same time in place, it's not a violation. That is a content-based restriction as applied to the facts of this case. And a content-based rule, a content-based prohibition, remains content-based even if it only applies to one form of speech, such as recording, even if it allows other kinds of speech at the same time and place. And I've addressed those cases in my brief, not least of which is Berger against City of Seattle in this court en banc 10 or 15 years ago. As applied to the speech in this case, the ordinance is likely to fail strict scrutiny because it is not the least restrictive means to serve any valid, compelling interest. If the county's interest is in preventing and punishing criminal conduct in the sideshows themselves, that cannot justify punishing the press and public for creating speech about the sideshows.
So in your view, the county would have a better argument if the ordinance simply said it is a violation for any person to knowingly be within 200 feet of a sideshow.
They would have a better argument. That would be much more like being content neutral. We would still address that on remand if they amend the ordinance, intermediate scrutiny.
So they'd have a better shot with a more restrictive ordinance.
Well, that would make it content neutral, yes, Your Honor. And content neutral laws are always preferred to content-based, all else being equal, because the First Amendment prohibits content-based discrimination above all else, precisely because of the inherent risk of arbitrary censorship in a content-based law. Content-neutral laws don't present that same risk.
Do they have the right to take into account other constitutional problems that a completely, in your view, content-neutral law would pose? Like, for example, just anyone being within 200 feet might create a due process problem because somebody might not know what a sideshow is and might not know why they're there. Do they have the right to take that into account in drafting their statute to address other potential constitutional challenges, for example, due process?
Well, I understand, Your Honor. I believe the knowledge element addresses that due process question. If the statute prohibited knowingly being present,
right? It would.
Right.
That would not make it, in your view, not content neutral, that you had to have knowledge that it was a sideshow to be punished.
I'm not sure that the knowledge element alone makes it content based. What makes this ordinance content based is not the knowledge element, but the specific intent element, with the purpose to observe the sideshow.
Right, I asked a bad question. So if it were just simply knowledge, then you would not argue that made it not content neutral.
If it was knowledge alone, no person shall be within 100 feet of a sideshow or 200 feet of a sideshow, knowing that there's a sideshow there, that's a lot closer to being content neutral. I would like to reflect on that a bit more. I don't want to make a permanent binding concession,
right,
but I will accept that that's much closer to being content neutral, and the county would have a better argument in that event. I'm not saying it would be constitutional under intermediate scrutiny. That would require a much fuller record on remand, but I agree the county would be in a stronger position than in trying to defend a content-based law under strict scrutiny.
You want to reserve? We'll bump you to 3 minutes.
Yes, please, Your Honor.
Okay, so we give him 3 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you.
Shall I reserve my remaining time or shall I continue at this moment?
Well, you only have 3 minutes left.
Okay, then I will reserve my three.
That's why, yeah. I want to keep you to what you wanted to do.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, Aaron Stanton on behalf of the County of Alameda. May it please the court, the district court correctly denied the preliminary injunction in this case for two reasons. First, the ordinance targets non-expressive conduct, joining the audience for a sideshow. The ordinance applies regardless of whether an individual speaks or intends to create speech, and it is thus a generally applicable ordinance that is not subject to First Amendment scrutiny, even if it incidentally affects speech.
How would a journalist record a sideshow without being able to observe the sideshow?
Well, so, Your Honor, I think the question in this ordinance comes at a step further. The ordinance is not targeting the act of recording. It's targeting someone's presence for the purpose of observing, and that is not an expressive activity.
Well, but it's a predicate, I think, to recording for a journalist. That's why I asked the question. I don't understand how a journalist can record a sideshow without observing it, and recording, I think, is a First Amendment protected activity.
Well, so I certainly agree that recording is a protected First Amendment activity, but I think the distinction here is that the ordinance applies to everyone regardless of whether or not they are recording or not. And that's what makes it generally applicable. And I think this goes to the question that Your Honor asked earlier about a reporter who wanted to, for example, cover a high-speed chase. The ordinance here is similar to a regulation that would prohibit speeding, even if it were challenged by a reporter who wanted to cover that high-speed chase. The ordinance wouldn't be subject to the First Amendment because it doesn't target the expressive element of the reporter's conduct. In fact, it doesn't target expressive conduct at all.
So observation, in your view, is just not—that's not an expressive conduct, the observation.
Yes, Your Honor. Observation is not expressive. One can engage in observation, for example, just being present at a sporting event in a way that is not at all expressive.
So, counsel, here's where I'm sort of at sea with this ordinance. And looking, for example, at page 36 of your brief, individuals who did not seek out the sideshow to watch it may record it, take notes on it, interview spectators, or observe it freely. So somebody who goes there with the intent to watch it, they're violating the statute. Somebody who goes there initially with the intent to sell Girl Scout cookies and then decides they don't want to sell Girl Scout cookies, now they want to watch it, is not covered by the ordinance. That's what you say at page 30. How does that make any sense?
Well, so, Your Honor, the way that I would frame it is somebody who goes to the text of the ordinance is somebody who is knowingly present for the purpose of observing a sideshow as it progresses. That for the purpose, I think, is doing a lot of the work here. Someone has to have the purpose of being present for the purpose of observing the sideshow.
Right, but you're saying at your brief here, at page 30, that if you went there for some other purpose, you didn't know there was going to be a sideshow, but then when you get there, you see a sideshow, you can do anything you want, but the journalist plaintiff here who goes there for the purpose of observing but is doing the exact same thing as the person in my hypothetical, one of them can do it, the other one's violating the ordinance.
So, Your Honor, to take up the terms of your hypothetical exactly, someone who went to sell Girl Scout cookies, a sideshow happens in front of them. If they continue to sell Girl Scout cookies and while they're selling Girl Scout cookies incidentally observe the sideshow, if they're selling Girl Scout cookies and they continue to sell Girl Scout cookies while the sideshow is happening, I would say even if they take notes and note that, oh, there's a license plate there, I'm jotting it down so I can report it to police later.
Okay, well,
how does that make any sense? What's the difference? I just really don't understand what the difference is between someone who's sitting at a table, okay, with Girl Scout cookies in front of them, watching the sideshow, taking notes on it, enjoying it maybe, and someone who's there as a reporter, standing right next to the Girl Scout cookie table, who's doing the same thing.
Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So, again, I think it points to the reason for presence. If the Girl Scout cookie seller is present for the purpose of selling Girl Scout cookies, they're not present for the purpose of observing the sideshow. But again, one thing that I think is important here is even if the Girl Scout cookie seller who looked up and happens to observe the sideshow, even if that person were to be subject to the ordinance and guilty of a violation of the ordinance, it wouldn't be because of any expressive conduct that they are undertaking. It would be because they were present with the purpose of observing the sideshow, not because they intended to speak about the sideshow. If they started taking notes, that wouldn't be the thing that draws the legal remedy.
So counsel, you're familiar with the Wasden case?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I've recently written about the Wasden case in an opinion that was joined by no one. So Wasden is extremely broad. It is binding in the Ninth Circuit. We recently had an in-bank case where we discussed these issues, but Wasden is extremely broad, and it's binding on us, right?
Yes, yes, Your Honor.
So I'd like to hear your explanation as to why Wasden doesn't compel us to accept your friend's argument here.
Sure, Your Honor. So Wasden focuses on and concludes that the act of recording is an act of speech creation because the recording itself is similar to a painting or a book. You know, the same way that you write a book, when you create a recording, you're creating expression. So in my understanding, holds Wasden. The difference between that ordinance or the law in Wasden and this one is that the act of being present for observing is not itself an act of speech creation. It's being present for the purpose of joining the audience for an illegal event. And the ordinance, again, applies regardless of whether that person who is there to observe the sideshow intends to create speech in the future.
But you could cut off all expressive activity just by prohibiting people from observing it under your argument. I mean, you could say that it's fine to record a play, but you can't observe a play, and then the Wasden decision has no meaning anymore. So I mean, I don't see how we could possibly conclude that a necessary predicate to a First Amendment protected activity is not also protected by the First Amendment. I guess that's what I'm trying to get you to address here.
Yeah, so Your Honor, I will try to address it. I think the difference in the hypothetical that you've posed is that a play, for example, involves expressive activity. Here, there is no claim that a sideshow is expressive, and that observation of a sideshow is observation of an expressive activity. Plaintiff has raised in their briefs the idea of ordinances that prohibit presence for the purpose of observing a protest or presence for the purpose of observing a police activity. This isn't that. This ordinance doesn't do observation of an expressive activity. And again, I think that's the important distinction. If you look at the language of the test in Arcara, First Amendment scrutiny applies only where it was conduct with a significant expressive element that drew the legal remedy in the first place, or where an ordinance based on non-expressive activity has the inevitable effect of singling out those engaged in expressive activity. And I think neither of those conditions is present here, because not only is observation itself not an expressive activity in that it can be engaged in by people who are intending to create speech and people who are not intending to create speech, but also the activity that the ordinance is focused on doesn't have the effect of singling out people because they are engaged in expressive activity. Because observation of a sideshow is not observation of an expressive event.
So the city then could prohibit journalists from observing and therefore recording anything that isn't expressed. I mean, so a journalist couldn't, I don't know.
Police brutality.
Yeah.
Like George Floyd.
Right.
They would be illegal to record the death of George Floyd.
Well, so there's a difference between ordinances in the case law that are focused on suppressing observation for the purpose of preventing speech. And that, I think, is the key factor in the police conduct cases where courts have recognized that there is a right to observe police in order to later speak about police. The idea is the observation in those cases where we're talking about observation of police conduct is we have to avoid the situation in which the state uses its power to prevent observation in order to prevent criticism and speech. But again, that's not the situation in this ordinance. This ordinance is more similar to a law that prevents or has the incidental effect of preventing speech about, in this case it would be police in the hypothetical, because of an interference with police activity. The cases including Jordan versus Adams County, Fields versus City of Philadelphia, all acknowledge that that sort of rule would not be subject to First Amendment scrutiny because it involves generally applicable conduct, interference with police activity, and is not related to suppression of expression.
Well, let me just ask you, because I mean, I grew up in the Bay Area. I used to live in Oakland, and part of the reason why people attend these sideshows, the very reason why the ordinance exists, because people are so frustrated with these sideshows because they go on, and there's been criticism of the police that they don't do anything about it. So part of the reason why people attend these sideshows is to record them to go to the Board of Supervisors and say, do something about this, which is part of the reason why this thing was passed in the first place. So if the reason why I'm attending is to record it to show police inactivity because I'm upset that my neighborhood's been turned into this, that would be illegal under the statute, correct?
Yes, if you were standing within 200 feet of the sideshow for the purpose of observing.
How is that any different than if it's constitutional, or if I'm allowed to record police activity, then why wouldn't I be allowed to record police inactivity?
I'm having a little trouble answering the question, but
I think you said the case law says I'm allowed to record police activity because you're allowed to you want to be able to shine a light on what the police are doing. Mm-hmm. I want to go to a sideshow because I want to show the police aren't doing anything, and I'm frustrated that this is going on. So that's why I'm recording the sideshow, because here's the thing. There are all kinds of things the police can do about a sideshow. It's very tricky. I know that, having used to live in Oakland, I know the problems there, but they can arrest the people driving the cars. They can arrest the people with the guns, and sometimes that doesn't happen, and people get very upset, and that's why these things are recorded. So if I have a right to record the police doing something, don't I also have the right to record the police sitting 500 feet away and not doing something?
Well, certainly you have a right to record the police sitting 500 feet away not doing anything, right? Because then you're recording the police inactivity.
But they're right. I mean, that part of it is you record them not doing anything, and you record the sideshow and all the stuff going on and say, why aren't those cops doing anything?
Well, so again, I think the reason why the county adopted this ordinance to prohibit being present for the purpose of observing a sideshow, which again would include the person who goes to film the sideshow for the purpose of showing that police aren't responding, that person has put themselves in danger of being hit by a speeding car, and they are more likely to stay there. They're in greater danger because of their presence for that purpose. The reason why the ordinance regulates their conduct is not because they are intending to speak about police. It's because they are in a place of danger, and they're more likely to remain there because of their purpose.
But then why the Girl Scout? I don't understand. If the kids are sitting there at the table selling cookies, they look up, they see a sideshow, their parents can see the sideshow, they remain there. Aren't they also in danger? Why can they stay, and the journalist has to leave? I'm sorry, Judge Bennett.
go ahead and answer the question, and we'll get to Judge Bennett.
Yeah.
The county made the determination that a person who is present for the purpose of observing a sideshow within 200 feet creates increased risks of harm to themselves because they are more likely to remain than, for example, the Girl Scout, who is hopefully more likely to pull away. And also they are more likely to create the dangers to others associated with sideshows, including perpetuating the sideshow itself, which sideshows exist for an audience, and the presence of spectators is something that encourages the sideshow to continue.
So I guess why doesn't the ordinance address the situation of someone whose intent, as in this Girl Scout hypothetical, and we could use someone else whose intent has changed as they're there. If someone, it doesn't punish someone who's just wandering by and incidentally sees the sideshow. That's correct. But if that person then stops and starts recording or making notes, it still doesn't punish them. But why not?
So may I?
Yeah, please.
And then we'll get to Judge Bennett's question.
Okay, thank you. So, Your Honor, taking the example of someone who is sitting at a bus stop waiting for a bus when a sideshow occurs in front of them,
right.
If they continue to stay at the bus station and the sideshow happens and they incidentally observe it and then they get on the bus, I believe they wouldn't be liable under the ordinance. If they were to leave their spot at the bus station, walk into the front row of spectators, then I think you'd have a different
story.
But
what if they stay there and let their bus pass by and say,
if they let their bus pass by, I think you'd also have another example where the reason for their presence has changed. the purpose, you know, they would be there then not for the purpose of waiting for the bus any longer, but for the purpose of observing the sideshow. But I think, if I may just finish the answer to your question, even if the person who is sitting at the bus stop, who incidentally looks up at the bus, at the sideshow, and has, under the hypothetical, the purpose of observing, even if that were the case, again, the ordinance still would not target any conduct of theirs related to the creation of speech. It would target them because of the presence and the reason for that presence. They then have the presence to observe, not because they have the purpose of recording or speaking about the sideshow.
In the county's view, does the dangerousness of the activity at all inform whether the actions that are being punished are subject to a First Amendment analysis? In other words, would your argument be the same? It's not expressive activity, irrespective of how dangerous the activity was?
Well, I think in just taking this case on the facts, I think it's hard to get away from the fact that this is an inherently dangerous activity, and the fact that there is such a clear public safety purpose for the ordinance that has nothing to do with expression makes this an easier case.
All right. Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you. May it please the court. The right to record events in public does not depend on whether those events are themselves expressive. This ordinance does directly impact the protected speech of recording, and it is covered by that footnote in RCARA. This ordinance directly impacts an essential element of creating protected speech, and that protected speech can be recording anything from police brutality to a sideshow to a water main break to a fuel spill, etc. If an activity is dangerous, the public has an especially compelling interest in the free flow of information and reporting about it. That's why it's a matter of public concern. Can there be potentially a content-neutral rule for safety? Potentially, yes. This ordinance, however, is not remotely tailored to any interest in safety because it only punishes the person with the purpose to observe and therefore record and document the sideshow, not the person who's there for some other reason, even though both are at virtually identical risk. Ordinance is also over-inclusive as to safety because it punishes someone within 200 feet, but recording from, say, inside a building where they are at much less risk. So this is not remotely tailored to the interest in protecting safety under strict scrutiny, potentially not even intermediate, but certainly not under strict scrutiny. And the First Amendment does not require the government to have the purpose to silence protected speech. That may be sufficient for a First Amendment violation, but it is not necessary. Specific intent to silence speech is not an element of a First Amendment claim. Under Reed against Town of Gilbert, the government can have the most benevolent purpose in the world. A content-based restriction on speech is still a violation of the First Amendment, regardless of intent. The direct operation of this ordinance is to punish an essential element of creating speech in a public forum. I am not asserting a right to commit reckless driving or speeding. Those are independent criminal violations. I'm simply asserting the First Amendment right to stand on a sidewalk and record events of public concern in a public forum. The county has not remotely met the First Amendment standard for suppressing that speech. Again, as applied to the facts of this case, this is an as-applied challenge on a preliminary injunction. I'm not asking the court to test all of the outer limits of potential applications. The ordinance also applies to off-street parking facilities, not necessarily a public forum. I'm not addressing that. I'm not talking about someone who is there merely to observe and nothing more. On the facts of this case, my client is observing with the purpose to record and document for the purpose of publishing journalism. That is protected speech on those facts. This ordinance is likely invalid and unconstitutional on the merits. Because free speech violations are always irreparable harm, balance of equities always favors free speech, I ask the court to reverse and remand with directions to enter the injunction in my client's favor.
All right. Thank you very much, counsel. Thank you to both of you for your briefing and argument. Very interesting case. I hope the students found this last one worth waiting for. Very interesting issues in this case. All right. We're going to step back and go to conference here in a moment. For the students who are here, Our law clerks are going to come up and talk to you and answer any questions you may have. Just so you understand, you cannot ask, here's a content-based restriction. You cannot ask questions about the cases you heard today, okay? And then they're certainly not going to answer any questions about those cases. But if you want to talk to them about what they do in their job and how they got their job and what it's like, all of that is totally fair game, okay? So thank you very much. This particular panel is adjourned for the week. Thank you.
All rise.